Well, this evening, we're going to look at the topic of prayer. We will also do that next Sunday afternoon as well. So our scripture reading this evening is Matthew chapter 6, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 9. And as we look at this passage of scripture, and as we study the subject of prayer, I'd like for us to look at prayer in a little bit different way than we normally look. Normally, when we study prayer, we study and concentrate on the various words of prayer, how to pray, what to pray for, and this is all good. We need to be aware of this, but this Sunday afternoon and next Sunday afternoon, I want us to look at the Trinity in prayer, thinking about God's perspective as we pray. And so it's going to be a little different approach, but I think as I was praying about how to teach this evening and had a request on the sermon on prayer, This is what the Lord has placed on my heart. And so we're going to look this evening at God the Father and God the Son. And next Sunday afternoon, we'll look at God the Holy Spirit. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Before we study, let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we just praise you and thank you for life in Christ and the privilege we have of being your children and being able to come to you in prayer. And so, Father, I pray now that you would teach us from your word by your Holy Spirit, enable us to focus on your word and to be teachable, having our hearts and minds open to your Holy Spirit and the instruction, understanding your role and the Son's role in prayer. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 9, this is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. And I'm going to read this passage to you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In reading this section, notice here the number of times the word when is used. When and when. It's three times. And when you get a word that's repeated like this in a small section of Scripture, there's emphasis on that word. This word is usually overlooked in this passage. There's a lot of richness in this passage, and yet as we believe that the Scriptures are inspired of God, we need to pay attention to every word. And so what does the word when mean? Well, there are two things we need to look at here. First of all, God expects us to talk to Him. In fact, He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to communicate with Him. And so He expects us to pray. The second thing this word means, and this is one of the little definitions of this word, it's when means a repeated action. So prayer shouldn't be one time a week. It should be constantly. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we read, pray without ceasing. And so the Heavenly Father expects to hear from us maybe many times during the day. And so this is something that we need to be aware of, that there are just not certain times we pray. It's a consistent praying to God. Now, you look at the word prayer. The word prayer here, when you pray, this is a general word for prayer. It means the calling on God for help. And so prayer is communicating, is talking to God. And God wants us to pray, and He expects to hear from us because He wants to hear from us. We want to hear from our children. We want to hear from our friends. We like talking to each other. So the same is with God. He wants to hear from us. Now, as we pray, let's look at this verse here, verse 9. He says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Notice he says, our Father, not our God. He says, our Father. So that speaks of the special relationship that you and I have with the true and living God. Yes, it doesn't diminish the fact that He is the sovereign God, that He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all the attributes of God. But you know, when you and I address God as Father, it speaks of a special relationship that we have with Him personally. So when we think about God, we think about Father, and it's a privileged access that we have to Him. Other people outside our families with our parents, they could talk to our parents, but they couldn't talk to our parents, particularly our dads, as a father, because they were not related to Him in that way. You and I, because God is our Father, the Father has given you and me, each one of His children, a special access to Himself. And He wants us to use it. A special access that you and I have, along with millions of other brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I have that access. We should use it as often as we desire to. So that's the first thing. We have a relationship as Father. And we have this privileged access. And He expects us to use it and wants us to use it. The next thing we see here in this particular verse, our Father in heaven. In heaven. This phrase, in heaven, speaks about the place. It's a special place. It's not on earth. He's not on earth. Yes, He's present with us by His Holy Spirit. But God the Father is in heaven. And so when we think about being God the Father being in heaven, how do we approach Him? And how does He expect us to approach Him? With reverence and humility. With reverence and humility. With reverence, showing the utmost respect for our Heavenly Father. You know, when we spoke to our earthly fathers, do you ever speak to your earthly father in a disrespectful way? What happened? Was not appreciated. And so God expects us to speak to Him in a very respectful manner, respecting who He is. That doesn't diminish our privilege of having access to Him. We still have the access. The manner in which we use that access and come to Him should be one of reverence and respect and being in awe of Him. The other one would be in humility, acknowledging who He is the true and living God. And we humble ourselves as we come to His throne. So that's our Father in heaven. Then the next phrase, hallowed be your name. I remember thinking as a child, what is hallowed? What is hallowed? This word hallowed is actually a verb. And then it says hallowed be, the verb to be. That's not even in the passage. So if you literally translated this, our Father in heaven, treat me as holy. That's what the word hallowed means. Treat me as holy. This business of having an attitude like the good man upstairs or the man upstairs or the buddy or something like that, that shows no respect, no reverence, no humility for the true and living God. And so when we pray, we need to know who God really is and give Him the awe and respect and to approach Him and treat Him as holy. And don't diminish who He is. And so this is what God expects, because remember, this is Jesus teaching His disciples how to pray. And so Jesus says, this is how you pray. You come before our Father who is in heaven with respect and awe and humility. And you remember to treat Him as holy because He is holy. And so as we think about this, we treat Him as holy. We acknowledge that He is holy. And this is why from time to time, and maybe in every prayer, we should say, Father in heaven, as I have prayed today, You are the true and living God, and besides You, there are no other gods. And You are indeed holy, holy, holy. Now, when I pray and use that word three times, I don't have the Trinity in mind. I'm thinking about the degree of holiness that He is. Our degree of holiness is not the same, because we're sinners saved by grace. We have some sin still mixed in with us. He doesn't. He's never had sin. So He is holy in the purest aspect of the word. And yet He's given you and me as His children and wants us to have this access and use it to come to Him as His children. And so we exercise that right that He's given us. And then the awe and respect. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans 8:15. A very familiar passage to us. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. First of all, you and I, being in Christ, we're not slaves in the sense of having to be fearful of our master. That's not the case. We are His children. Now, granted, the Apostle Paul always said, Paul, an apostle, a servant of Jesus Christ. But that still, even in that role as servant, it's not one of fear and trembling that He's going to beat me and mistreat me and take advantage of me. No. It means that servant, that word would imply that I am totally dependent upon Him and He meets every need that I have. And so we haven't been given this spirit of fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. God has personally, through Christ and by the Spirit, adopted each one of us as His very own. He wants us. And we're told in Ephesians 1:4 that He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's special. That is very special. And He's not only chosen us, but adopted us as His very own children. And so, as a result of that, we cry, Abba, Father. Now, Abba, let's look at that word, Abba. That word, being Aramaic, is translated Father. And in that translation, and in the meaning there, it refers to a very intimate fellowship with Him. And that fellowship, that intimacy of each of the children with the Father in heaven depends directly on each child and his or her relationship with their Heavenly Father. How intimate is your relationship with the Father? How deep is that love that you feel from Him when you read Scripture and realize who He is and who I am and what He's done for me and what He continues to do for me? Nobody can nurture that relationship other than each child and their relationship with their father. It's the same with our earthly fathers. The relationship depends on the father reaching down to the child and loving the child and taking care of the child and nurturing the child. And that child's response to the father. And so it is as we realize who God is, and He is our Abba. And the emphasis on that name is my relationship is very intimate with Him. Extremely close. Because He initiated it. He's the one that adopted me. He's the one that showed me love first. He's the one that has taught me the love. He's the one that provides everything I need. Wow. That's pretty special when we realize that. So when we come to pray, and this is who God is, and this is what He's expecting from us, do we give it to Him? Do you and I give Him that awe and respect and treat Him as a holy and humble ourselves before Him and respond to Him in love because of what He's done for you and me? Because He's expecting that from us when we pray and when we come to Him. And then one other verse of Scripture in Psalm 34. Turn to Psalm 34 in verse 15. Psalm 34:15. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears toward their cry. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. You know, I was expecting to find this word toward meaning open. Like His eyes are open and watching us, and His ears are open. It's not. It's the word toward. And when you think of the word toward, you think of direction. So His eyes are always on us. Doesn't matter where we are, who we're with, or what we're doing, His eyes are on us. And His ears are toward us. He's directed His ears toward our cry. So whenever you and I call on Him, He's here. He's listening. He's watching. And he's going to respond. Don't you just love to call someone? Please leave a message after the beep. You know, after the third time, you kind of say, forget that, I'm not calling them again. Or I'll call you as soon as possible. I made a phone call 3 weeks ago, and I'm still waiting on that return call. You know, you get a little frustrated. You will never have that with our Heavenly Father, because His ear is toward your voice personally. And so when you and I pray, if you feel so led to pray, you can close, as you close that prayer out, you can pray, Lord, I know you have heard my voice because your ear is toward my cry. It really is. You ever feel like your prayers get about here sometimes? There's nothing in Scripture that indicates that. Other than Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. So if your prayers are getting here, you better look at your own heart. Otherwise, it's a guarantee from God, my ear is toward you. I'm listening for your voice. You're personal to me. You're intimate with me. And I'm listening. So when you and I pray to our Father in heaven, this is what He's looking at us. His eyes are toward us. His ear is toward us. He expects us to come in humility, and to treat Him as holy. That's what we do when we pray. Now, let's look at the Son. Let's look at the Son. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 7, 23 through 25. This is where the author to the Hebrews is telling us about Christ as our high priest. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office. But he holds his priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So we know Jesus came as a Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And he did that. He accomplished that on our behalf. But what is he doing now? He's living at the right hand of the Father, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. Now we need to look at the word intercession and what that means. Intercession means directing a petition from someone to God. Someone who is directing a petition to God for someone. Every time you and I pray, that prayer goes through and to the Son. And the Son then perfects it and takes it to the Father. Calvin says that all of our prayers are fallible and weak and sinful because we have a tendency to pray selfishly at times. We have a tendency to ask for things that wouldn't honor God. And so Jesus fine-tunes it, edits it, and directs it to the Father. So our prayers, when we pray in the name of Jesus, goes to Jesus. And he directs that prayer to the Father. Now, let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. Chapter 14 and verse 13. Remember the context here in the upper room. Prior to his being arrested and tried. And in John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask in my name, whatever Now, we need to look at the verb ask. The verb ask is always used by us asking for something, because this verb means someone who is inferior is addressing someone who is superior. When Jesus says that he will ask the Father, he never uses this verb. Never. Because he's not inferior to the Father. He's equal. And so it's always used of children to the Heavenly Father. And so, once again, this goes back to what we saw, hallowed be thy name. We treat God as holy and reverent. And so, in my name, first of all, means it proceeds from faith. When we pray to the Father through Jesus, we're praying believing that God is who He is, that God is hearing us, and God will answer us according to His will. We must believe that. In James chapter 1, where James instructs the believers to ask for wisdom, and the Father will give it. He says, but let him not ask in doubt, for the one who asks from doubt will never receive anything. So we must have confidence in the Father and in Jesus Christ. When we pray with confidence. I know you're hearing me. I know you're going to answer me. And then we pray according to His will. So we pray in Jesus' name proceeds from faith. The next thing is in accordance to the will of God. We have the privilege of asking for anything we want. God says, tell me. But ultimately we have to submit to God, not my will, but your will be done. And that should be what our desire of the heart should be anyway, because God's will for each one of us is the best that we could have. Even maybe from our perspective, we might think, this is not good. This is not good. But it is, because it's God working in us. But we know God is doing this for our good. So it's according to the will of God. And the third thing, asking in the name of Christ, it's in the interest of God's kingdom. Is it going to further the kingdom? Is it going to cause me to be spiritually stronger, a stronger light, a good salt of the earth? Is it going to further the kingdom of God by God granting what I have asked of Him? And so when we ask in the name of Christ, proceeds from faith. It's in accordance with the will of God, and it will further the kingdom of God. Now, let's look at the last part of verse 13 in John 14. This I will do. That is a strong statement. This I will do. Now, look at the word that. The word that speaks of the purpose of why Jesus will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So is what my petition that I've gone to the Father with, if it's going to honor the Father and the Son will do it. Is it going to honor God that He answer my prayer as I have requested? He's going to answer it. But He's going to answer it in a fashion that the Son will be glorified, will be honored in the Father. That's what we see. Now, look at verse 14. In John 14:14, if you ask me anything in my name, in verse 13, whatever you ask, in verse 14, anything. So he's not saying you can only ask for these little bitty things in here. He's saying, present it to me. I want it. You come to me believing. I want it. If it's going to glorify the Father and the Son, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, that phrase in the Greek there is stronger than what you see in the English. You know, in the seven I ams, Jesus said, I am. Well, this says, I will. You have the, in the Greek, it says the pronoun I, and then it says, I will do it. That is an emphatic statement. And he will, because he doesn't lie. Now, that's the role of the Father and the Son in prayer. This is what we are told by the Father through the Son. This is how you pray. This is what you do. This is your attitude and your heart toward me has to be, hallowed be thy name. And then you may ask whatever and anything you want, that the Son may be glorified in the Father, that we will be honored. And you ask according to the will of the Father. I will do it. Look what confidence you and I have in praying. This, I hope, will give each of you, as a child of God, a deep confidence in your praying and in your prayer life, and that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt in Psalm 34 that when you pray, his eye is toward you and his ear is toward your call. My, look at what we have when we cry out, Abba, Father. Look at the confidence we have. My goodness, let's pray. Father in heaven, oh, how we praise you and thank you for what you've instructed us concerning prayer and your role in prayer and the Son's role in prayer and the encouragement we have to come to you according to your word. Thank you for how you've instructed us this evening. And Father, I pray that as we continue to pray, oh, that we will pray with stronger confidence and deeper hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well,